Welcome to Voice Rising with Kara Johnstad. Enjoy weekly conversations with leading luminaries, pioneering visionaries, singers, poets, musicians, and sound healers as we explore the profound role our voice plays on the path to self-realization and global enlightenment. The internationally acclaimed singer, composer, author, healer, recording artist, voice expert, creator of Voice Your Essence, and founder of the School of Voice, Kara Johnstad, uses her extraordinary spiritual gifts to empower others. Everything in this world vibrates. Everything has a frequency. A pioneer in the field of voice work and transformational songwriting. Her breakthrough methods are helping thousands of people worldwide fine-tune their body-mind-spirit system and unlock the energetic frequencies of limitless creativity, health, and abundance. Share your voice, ask your questions, join in the conversation. Receive life-changing, positive transformation and rise together to create a sound world. And here's your host, Kara Johnstad.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Voice Rising. With me in studio today is the internationally renowned author, composer, and president, publisher of New World Library, Mark Allen. Welcome, Mark, to the show.
Oh, thank you for having me, Kara. I love your show.
Thank you. And I love... I want to share a little bit more with our audience what you've been up to. You are the founder of this amazing publishing house. It's one of the many things that you do, right? It's you're a man of with many hats. You're an author, you're a musician, you're a speaker, you're a teacher, and you have published over 1,000 titles with some of the best authors in the world. So people like Eckhart Tolle, Deepak Chopra, Shakti Gawain, Dan Millman. Mm. There's so many, I can't even list them all.
Joseph and, Campbell.
Yeah, list some more. Alan Watts, right?
Yes, we do a lot of,
Alice Walker.
We did a book of her poetry, actually.
Yes. Oh, gorgeous.
It's been amazing. I just started self-publishing a few little books with no knowledge whatsoever of business or the publishing industry or anything. I just self-published a few of my own little books and then published a book with the woman who was my girlfriend at the time named Shakti Gawain. It was the fourth book I ever published called Creative Visualization.
Yeah, and I actually had that book in my suitcase while I was flying to India. So it's been a long journey, right? So I think and what I love about your work, Mark, is that I don't even know if you're as conscious about this, but you're literally dancing between many layers of voice. So you're a publisher and you're a writer, and a publisher is also doing all this voice work, magnifying all these visionary voices out into the world. You're a speaker, you're a teacher. So you have a lot of, and you're very tuned in. I know your work pretty well. You're very tuned into coming or aligning with that inner voice, which is, I think, why I love what you're doing in the world so much, that you're creating a business and you're creating opportunities for so many people that are there to expand their voices out into the world, but at the same time, always connected to their essence, connected to their inner voice. And that's what I would love to talk to you about today is the visionary voice and what attracts you to a voice. I mean, you are a major publisher in this business, and you're also walking the talk by writing yourself. I mean, you also have to go into your cave or into the garden or somewhere and dig in and do that work. So let's start with publishing. What attracts you to a voice? Is it its tone, its message? How do you realize that you want to engage with that voice?
You talk about, I do think maybe the single key to the success I've had has been learning to meditate. In my early 20s, I spent time at a Zen center and then learning to connect with that inner voice. I started by my late 20s, doing what I do every day. Now I just get quiet and I listen and I ask for guidance. Mm-hmm. And the day I turned 30, I remember I was in a state of shock. I woke up in a state of shock. Everything I did in my 20s fell apart. I had the opposite of the Midas touch. And I woke up the day I turned 30. I had no money, no income. I lived in a little slum apartment in Oakland. And that's the day I really did spend a lot of time connecting with that inner voice and really dialoguing with myself. This voice said, "You're 30. You're not a kid anymore." Mm-hmm. And I said, "What should I do with my life?" I really asked, "What's up? What's the best thing for me to do? What do I have a purpose here on earth? Is there something I should be doing?" And then I just remembered a very simple game I'd played during this disastrous back to the land experiment I'd done when I was about 22, 20, where we were sitting around a fire freezing because we had no heat or anything. And this one couple said, "Let's play a game we play at church camp. Let's imagine 5 years have passed and everything has gone as well as you could imagine. What would your life look like? What is your ideal scene?" And we all went around the fire. I couldn't remember later a word of what I said, so it had no impact in my life. But the day I turned 30, pacing up and down in my little apartment, this voice said, "Do that ideal scene exercise. This is good, but this time write it down." And I took a sheet of paper and wrote ideal scene at the top, and imagine 5 years had passed, so I was 35, which seemed just impossibly old. I mean, that's middle-aged. The first thing that just started spilling out was, I have a successful publishing company.
Nice.
Publishing wonderful books. And it just amazed me. I'd never had any interest in business whatsoever. In fact, I'd avoided it. I'd been an actor and a musician and a spiritual seeker, really, through my 20s.
So you had not written a book at that point. I mean, like you said, you're an actor, you're a musician.
Right.
I think you do a lot of work at the piano and composing. And so you hadn't been secretly journaling your morning pages at the age of 20.
No, I hadn't been writing at all. I did have a pile of pages, actually, that I was tricked into writing in a way. My friend Chuck and I were supposed to help this guy do a 4 or 5 day workshop culminating in New Year's. I was 29, I think, and she was 27. And I was just supposed to hand out pages for him, and Shakti was cooking for him. And 25 people showed up from around the country for this event. And he got weirder and weirder before the event. And 10 minutes, and all these people had showed up. They had assembled. We had a big house. We did it in there. And we had all these people waiting. And he'd gotten weirder and weirder. He burned the checks that came in for the deposits, saying we shouldn't be attached to the material plane.
Oh, no.
Shakti and I were helping him because he said he'd pay us. We had no money. Right. We had no jobs. We just scrounged every month. The word we used all the time to get the rent together somehow, you know, cheap rent. And but he 10 minutes before, the three of us were in the kitchen, and he said, "I can't handle this," and he walked out the back door. And so Shakti and I, we just stared at each other for a while, said, "Oh, one of us, well, let's do this. And, you know, if worse comes to worse, they can have their money back, whatever." So we did it. We just threw in everything we ever learned in the last 10 years of being, we called ourselves spiritual junkies. We took every course in, we were in Berkeley, California. We literally threw in everything we'd learned in the last, I'd been on the path for about seven, 8 years, and Shakti for about, I think, five or six. She'd been around the world. She spent a year in India. And so we for 4 days this went on. And so between each session, I ran upstairs and wrote down notes of what we just covered, because there was so much.
And you didn't want to repeat by mistake. Yeah, beautiful. Yeah, that is the true art of being in the here and now, right? And saying yes. I was gonna ask you about this anyway. It seems like that when we align with our word and we speak it out, or we even write it out. I mean, you were talking about writing, you know, your ideal scene, and you also talk a lot in your courses about affirmations and writing it, that the universe answers with this big yes, right? And that is the beauty and the joy. And yet that's also freaking scary, because if we are not careful with our self-talk and with our sabotage monsters, it can really twist it up. But you said yes in that moment, and the universe totally supported you at 4 days of sharing your wisdom, right? Or sharing wisdom, or whatever it was. I mean, sharing your path.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And both of us, and this is one reason why Shakti did so well with her book and her life, is we had to be totally authentic. We had to really say, you know, I mean, we were young, and I felt even younger somehow. I definitely felt like I was a student and not any kind of teacher yet. But our honesty worked, and people loved it. And when it was over, some guy said, "I'm from L.A. I want you to do this again in L.A. And bam, we suddenly had a career.
And that's what led you. You said you were 29. So is that what kind of inspired you somewhere around the age of 30 to think, wow, maybe I should release a workbook, or I should start making a little book and dreaming of this publishing business?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. I had this pile of notes. Then when I turned 30, and imagine my ideal, it will start a publishing company. Oh, okay. Well, I got a pile of notes. Is that a book? And I even looked a book and published in a dictionary to see if I had published a book, because we had given away by that time, or sold, a couple hundred copies.
Yeah.
And so sure enough, a book is anything, some pages with a spine, and ours was stapled. And, you know, publishing is just making public. So literally you can make two copies of your book and give one to your mom, and you have published your book.
Yeah, I think, and it's a very empowering feeling. I know that myself as an artist and as a writer, even if it's one book, there's something about putting into form and shape things that matter to you, like putting into matter things that matter, and seeing that and then giving it and sharing that, that makes us all, I think, that have done it, and I inspire everybody to do it, and I think that's your work too.
Yes.
There's something that solidifies there, which makes us, that gives us confidence in our own voice.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there's nothing more gratifying than putting your book or your music or whatever it is out in the world and having at least one person respond to it.
Yeah, like a resonance that happens, like a resonance field.
Yeah.
And Mark, after now you have basically, I mean, that was with 30, and now you're a few years older. So you've had all this experience, right? Obviously, you've published more than one book. So what I sense now from your work and reading, you know, your blogs, and you're doing the Magical Path, which is a course you did share at the beginning of the show while we were talking, tuning in, that there's a Facebook group there, and there's a Success with Ease, and I think you have a visionary business course. You have many books, but I sense a new urgency and a very relaxed clarity. that you carry a dream in your heart, and the dream is to ignite the passions of every slumbering visionary on planet Earth, and to empower other people not only to dream big, but to give them the tools to create enlightened business models and become visionary business leaders. That when we walk out onto the street and we're buying our goods and we're connecting with people and we're, you know, whatever we're doing, we're getting our groceries and we're getting our books, and that it's from people that are creatively conscious and empowered. Is that true? Yes. Do I sense that correctly?
That is beautifully put, Cara. That's better than I could put it myself, I think. go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and why is this vision that you are materializing? I mean, you are bringing out more and more courses. You are at a point where you're really connecting with your audience on a very intimate and personal and authentic, from an intimate, personal, authentic place. Why is this vision so dear to your heart?
Well, it's so gratifying to see people take the tools I have in Visionary Business and my other books and run with them and really create some wonderful success in the world. I get stories every week from people. It's wonderful in the work I'm doing. And the older I'm getting, the clearer I see it, the simpler it gets. The older I get, the simpler it gets. And I really think now that visionary business, or you could even call it enlightened business, can totally transform the world. I think we can in not that many years. I hope still in my lifetime, or definitely my listeners' lifetimes, make huge transformational changes in the world. And it's not that difficult once we get the concept. I really think, and I started blogging about this, that the problem in so many of the problems all over the world is because of our misuse of capitalism. Companies only are there for the profits. Once you think in profits, they completely ignore the planet, they ignore their people, they ignore the things that really could change the world. But a simple shift to enlightened capitalism, we don't have to overthrow the capitalist system or anything. It's an incredibly powerful, brilliant system. But if we just focus, and this is coming into being now, on the three P's instead of just the profit one, if we focus on profit, people, and planet, we will transform the world. Corporations can transform the world. Every corporation, not only do you make your profit, you also really support your people well. You set up pension plans for everything. You support the people in the community well. You support people globally. And planet, you take care of the planet. You make it your business sustainable. We use totally recycled paper. We use soy-based inks. You make it sustainable. And that's all. That it's that simple as far as I see it. We can shift to enlightened capitalism. More and more companies are. And that will have a transformative effect in the world. So we can, in a very short time, realize what Buckminster Fuller dreamed about in the 60s. He said, we now have the technology and the resources to house and feed and heal and educate everyone on the planet. And that was before internet. He said that.
Beautiful, Mark. So, we're going to take a very short station break. People, planet, profits. There you go. Enlightened business. We're going to be back in a few moments with Mark Allen.
The cutting edge of conscious radio. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
With happy clients all over the world, Kara Johnstad knows that your voice is the missing link to more authenticity, abundance, creativity, and health. An internationally acclaimed voice expert, Kara's breakthrough methods have helped thousands of people successfully heal their voice wounds and extinguish the story of self-doubt and shyness forever. Join in group trainings, attend online sessions, schedule one-on-one time, and invite Kara to work with your organization and community. Get started today. Go to www.karajohnstad.com and receive a special guided meditation designed to fine-tune your inner voice and welcome you on the voice journey.
This is Kathy Beal, host of Celestial Compass, featuring astrology you can use. Celestial Compass points you to what's going on in the sky and what you can do with it down here on Earth. We also explore fun, effective, and cosmic tools for navigating this adventure we call life. Join me the first and third Monday of the month at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for Celestial Compass. It's enlightening, entertaining, and empowering.
COVID-19, brought to you by CDC and the Ad Council.
If you're feeling increasingly lonely right now, you're not alone. It's totally normal. Even though we may not be able to get together in person, connecting virtually with friends and family still gives you a chance to interact with people and may help raise your spirits. Join a virtual book club, set up group text chats, or online video coffee breaks with coworkers.
Find more self-care and coping tips at coping-19.org.
Welcome back to Voice Rising. I'm your host, Kara Johnstad, and with me in studio is Mark Allen. And we were just talking about enlightened capitalism or enlightened business, visionary business. And we left off, Mark, with the bottom line, I guess, is people, planet, and profit. And I love to play with sounds, and I think that profit would be great if we thought of it as messages, positive messages like the prophets. Actually, if we had our prophets driven from enlightened prophets.
Many
of our problems, they seem to stem from old traditions of domination, and the solution to all these problems is found through partnership. And as we free ourselves from domination, we create this very creative and better world for everybody. You've spent years of fine-tuning this. Like you said, you started basically in your 20s. Not all actors and musicians are poor, but you were scrounging and creating. And now you created this very beautiful business where you do take care of your employees and you give back to the planet. Talk to us about the difference between respect and control.
Yes. They're the two key words for control is the key word for the problem of domination and exploitation. Respect is the key word for partnership. Years ago, we published a very important book. I think of the four books that changed my life. This was one. It was called The Power of Partnership by Rhianne Eisler, this wonderful woman who'd written a book called The Chalice and the Blade before that, and she looks at all of history. She looks at our last 35,000 years. And said up until about 3,000 years ago, pretty much communities were in partnership and things worked. Communities were built without fortifications. There was no need for it. Then 3,000 years ago, the blade entered with male domination and exploitation and armies conquering others, and goes back even before, but the Greeks and the Romans took it to a huge level of mastery. And for the last 3,000 years, you could say the whole globe has been more into controlled by domination and exploitation than any kind of partnership. And so the solution, and because that domination and exploitation has then led to the degradation of the entire planet, and that we have to change.
And the way to change is into partnership. And that involves respect for every human being and for Mother Earth. Every animal and plant and on the planet work in partnership, and that's the solution. That is the simple solution to the global problems. And it's the solution to building a successful career and everything. The key is partnership. You work in win-win partnerships with everyone.
The key is partnership, and you also work a lot. I really adore the idea of partnership as the one thing, but you also work a lot in encouraging people to come from a place of ease. We are in the middle of a pandemic, in a crazy climate crisis. There's a lot of dis-ease. There's a lot of not being at ease, right? We would not have as much dis-ease if we had not before been driven by so much stress. This idea that, you need to be busy, 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 and able to be in order to be successful. So I think this makes you very unique, at least from my conditioning. I was conditioned that either I was striving and surviving and pushing forward, or I was basically, a creative artist, poet who barely made the rent, maybe. But, this idea that you can be relaxed and not only a dreamer, but manifest those dreams into a very successful, creatively conscious business that is serving people, planet, and making profit. Without being choleric, without screaming at people, without harming anybody, and without working 60-hour work weeks.
Yep, exactly.
So talk to us about the word ease, grace, these words that you really have embodied. I mean, I've seen you talk, Mark. You're very sweet when you talk because you're very relaxed. You're sensing where to go. You're not worried about what anybody thinks. You're just sitting there and sharing your truth, right?
Yes. It really goes back to the first key in my book, Visionary Business. And it's the first thing I did the day I turned 30. It's imagine your ideal scene. Start with your ideal. Dare to dream. Dare to dream. And I did that when I was 30. I wrote down, okay, I have this successful business. I have books out there. I have music out there. I own a big house on a hill. And of course, I was overwhelmed with doubts and fears after doing that. And I realized the two simple essential things are, first, dare to dream, an expansive dream, and then deal with all those doubts and fears that come up. And when I thought through my ideal, then I thought, I'm thinking ideally, yes, I want success in the world. I want substantial success. But I also want it, and I had read this phrase in a book by Catherine Ponder, a Unity church minister in the 70s. I said, okay, my ideal is to have it all in an easy and relaxed manner, in a healthy and positive way, in its own perfect time for the highest good of all. That became part of my mantra, part of my affirmation. I kept repeating, I am now creating the life of my dreams in an easy and relaxed manner, a healthy and positive way, in its own perfect time for the highest good of all. And literally, from the beginning, I said, okay, I'm going to go for my dream, but I'm only going to work when I feel like it. I've been a musician. I love musician's hours. You never do a thing until 1 p.m. So I said, okay, I'm not a morning person. I never was. So I said, okay, I'm going to start a business. I'm going to start a business, but I'm going to sleep as late as I want. And my doubts and fears just said, of course, it's impossible. You've got to work really hard to I had all that conditioning. We all have, thinking that hard work is essential. And I grabbed onto the phrase, work smarter, not harder. I really pondered that a lot, too. And thinking of that, I think within that phrase is the truth that hard work isn't necessarily the best way to go.
smart work is obviously the best way to go. How do you work smart? Well, you need a plan. You make a plan. You have a clear goal, and you work toward it, and a firm is coming into being, and you can add in an easy and relaxed manner, in a healthy and positive way.
I think also as musicians, we know that if you're hitting the piano too hard, you know, I mean, we know how to get resonance, and there might be a moment where you need a little bit of push, but if we're not in that receptive place, the music will not be happening. The harmony will not be created in life or in the room. So it makes a lot of sense. And also nature. I think people forget that, you know, when they look at a beautiful forest and the moon is lingering, the forest is breathing, everything's very relaxed. Once in a while there is a storm, but it's not a daily thing. Yeah, when we go outside, that we're not daily in a storm, right? But the way many people are living their lives is a daily struggle. It's an identification also with struggle.
Often. Even in a storm, when you're out in the woods, those trees are just whipping around, dancing in the wind. They're
bending,
not resisting. Bending. Even dancing. They're not resisting it. They seem to love a good wet storm.
Yeah. So talk about the subconscious voice. Talk about you were talking about the doubts and the fears that come up. So now we've created this really, really big dream. And a lot of people stay stuck there because their dream is so big, they have no idea how to even take the first steps towards it. And so they stay the dreamer. It's hard for them to manifest it. You work a lot with manifesting dreams and bringing them from that ether stage, that energetic, you know, imagination, visionary stage, down onto earth, into our body, embodied presence, embodied companies. Your company is not out of air, right? Even though I always joke with people, I sell hot air as a singer. I'm kind of laughing at least. But
that's good. I like that.
Yeah. But talk about the subconscious voices and how do you deal with those doubts and fears? How do you deal with those inner critics that are wanting to sabotage you while you're walking towards that big dream?
That's it. The two essential things are dare to dream and then deal with those doubts and fears that inevitably arise for all of us. And the picture I have that I see it is, I really do think we are all connected to this subconscious mind that is vast and actually connected with the entire universe. We're obviously connected with the entire universe. We can connect with the creative power of the entire universe. And we do that when we dare to dream and we focus on it and we affirm, I am now creating the life of my dreams in an easy and relaxed manner. I really believe, and not because I took a leap of faith, but because in my own experience this came to be, that when you affirm something like that, the whole universe in some mysterious way we'll never quite understand, but starts showing you exactly what to do. You wake up the next morning and, I need to do this. I need to make this phone call. I need to find out how this works. I need to Google this, whatever it is. We're guided. As soon as we dare to dream and put it out there, we're guided what next steps to take. Then what happens? Inevitably, doubts and fears will arise. And it's as if we're putting in an order to the vast universal warehouse or whatever, that we want this. And the universe starts showing us how to fulfill it. But then our doubts and fears come along and cancel the order. Mm-hmm. They say, this is way too much. Who are you? You don't have what it takes. All those things that arise. I remember them just vividly on my 30th birthday. I was nearly overwhelmed with doubts and fears. And I realized, that's the other essential thing to deal with those doubts and fears. Okay, how do I do that? And I did learn, when I was 28, I took a workshop that has this core belief process, he called it, where you actually deal with your doubts and fears. You look at them, you bring them to the surface, you get down to what you're feeling physically and emotionally, and you really look at all those doubts and fears, and then find what your deepest underlying beliefs are that those doubts and fears are reinforcing. It can be belief like, I'm not enough. I don't have what it takes. I used to have one, I'm a fool with money, I'm out of control. That's what I was taught. Mm-hmm. Once you get down to that, you find an affirmation or a counter statement, as my friend Sark now is calling it, which is really good too. And you counter it. And the best way to start a counter statement is with the word actually. So like when I came down to, I'm a fool with money, I'm out of control. That's why I'm broke. Then you counter it. And I came up with, when I was about 32, I was really desperately on the verge of bankruptcy and stuff. And I came up with, actually, I am sensible and in control of my finances. I am creating total financial success in an easy and relaxed manner, in a healthy and positive way. I said that once I got that affirmation, it felt so good to me. I'm sure I said it a few thousand times over the next year or so. And within a year, it had completely turned around. My company was profitable. I was getting big bonuses. And the affirmation completely came true in reality.
And that's how the voice, our own voice, when it resonates, when it's aligned, and you talk about the core belief, but it really anchors itself in our bones, right? Everybody, everybody yes. knows that if we speak truth, it is in our body. We carry that in our body. Every artist and musician knows that when we sing lyrics and we sing things that are dear to us, we remember them. They're important to us. Mark, we're going to take a small break. We're going to take a very small break, and then I'll be back and we'll talk more.
Bringing a more conscious lifestyle to your world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose: to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Life is a flow, and enlightenment is simply harmonizing with the way life really is. Then you find that life is effortless, benevolent, and free of all suffering. Hey everyone, this is GP Walsh, and I want to invite you to my brand new radio show that's launching right here on Om Times Radio, called The Flow of Enlightenment. I've been a spiritual teacher for decades, and my greatest pleasure is being able to share with you these deep and highly practical spiritual ideas. So join me in The Flow every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern, and let yourself be transformed.
The United States has the highest rate of incarceration in the world. At the Equal Justice Initiative, we believe mass incarceration has to end. There is this presumption of dangerousness and guilt that gets assigned to Black and brown people. We have to confront our history of racial injustice and commit to a new era of truth. There's something better waiting for us, something that feels more like freedom. Truth can inspire change. Please learn more at EJI.org.
Welcome back to Voice Rising. I am your host, Kara Johnstead. With me in studio is Mark Allen. We are talking about voice, the visionary voice, enlightened business, and everything in between. Mark, we often live between the kindling of a dream and the fire of life. We imagine that we are moving towards a dream, but in fact, sometimes the dreams are coming towards us. Can you share with us the difference between chasing dreams and embodied desire?
I like the way you put things. I like the images they call forth. Yes, chasing dreams. If there is this element of desperation underneath it, then if there's fear going on, if there's fear in it, that's what we need to look at and get rid of. I have on my desk a big quote from Thoreau that says, there must be the empowering force of love behind every endeavor that is going to be successful. There must be the empowering force of love. Thoreau, it sounds like he said it yesterday. But yeah, if so many people, they want to do this, but it's based on they think they need to make themselves happy or fulfilled, because they're not. There's a desperation, a lack of accepting of what is. If instead we can let that go, and we can let that go, we can easily many different ways. One is just to learn to meditate and let those thoughts go. Let those feelings go. They rise, they fall, they come, they go. Let them go and be content in the here and now. And then dream. Dream in a way. And it is true. I think there's a real power if you just imagine you are completely fulfilling that dream and just feel it in every cell of your body. And to me, the best affirmations that you can find then remind you, you're already creating it. You are creating it. And so I was totally bankrupt, and I started affirming, I am sensible and in control of my finances. I am creating total financial success. I wasn't lying to my subconscious. I wasn't saying, I have total. My subconscious, my doubts and fears would have said, yeah, no, you don't. You have nothing in the bank.
Yeah.
You know. But instead, I found, I am creating. I am now creating total financial success right now. That's what I'm doing. I'm in this moment. When I was totally broke, I started saying that. And it really did not take long for that to come true in the world, because I did feel it in my body.
I think that's what you're saying, is to own our stories, to relax with where we are, to dream big, but to realize that, again, these dreams are not beyond us. They're actually already within us. So we can also think about, in a way, the zero point. People talk about the zero point, right? If we go to a point where we're not pushing and we're not pulling, but we're just in the place of manifesting and creating, as you said, you know, I'm creating, you know, I'm creating money, or I'm creating books, or I'm creating a beautiful dinner with my family, or that's very doable, right? I'm creating a lovely morning in the park. I mean, it's very doable. So it's not a feeling that we're in lack. It's a feeling of I'm in power. I mean, I'm able to do this. I'm able to direct my day.
Right.
I'm going to throw a quote at you. You're going to know this quote. The quote says, Hamlet said, there are more things in heaven and earth than any of us can imagine. What do you think when you hear those words, Mark Allen?
I think of that quote very often. I have thought of that quote ever since I was 15. I saw Hamlet. I remember walking out of there. I separated from the group because I was pondering, there are far more things in heaven and earth that are dreamt of in your philosophy. Yes, I've been pondering that for years, and I know it's totally true. None of us, there's such mysteries of creation. There's no philosophy. There's no human mind that can comprehend it all and how it all works. And so I often say, I mean, we will never understand the forces of creation, but we can set them in motion. The right affirmation, the right words, set these mysterious forces of creation in motion. I've seen it over and over and over throughout my life. You start to affirm, I'm going to create a successful this and that. Next thing you know, you hear a phrase in a TV commercial, or somebody calls you, or there's some coincidence, or something, someone comes along, and bam, you're a step closer to creating it. All these coincidences happen as soon as you have your mind focused on a goal.
And I mean, in the word, it's... Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Well, and you can be off course most of the time. I remember hearing a plane is off course over 95% of the time. But the pilot keeps correcting over and over, and it reaches its destination. When I first heard that, I thought, that's the story of my life. I did
that's
set
very
a
powerful.
Goal. You know, yeah. Mm-hmm. I set a goal the day I turned 30. Successful business, publishing and writing books, creating and recording music, living in a beautiful home, having a family. That was my goal, and doing it in an easy and relaxed manner, a healthy and positive way. That mm-hmm. was my dream. And maybe 95% of the time I was off course with Dawson Fierce saying, oh, that's impossible, Mark. You've got to work hard to succeed. And besides, you don't have what it takes. You never studied business. You don't have any money. All this stuff. Mm-hmm. And then you're off course. But you get back on. You repeat those words. I am now creating the life of my dreams in an easy and relaxed manner. I've said that thousands of times. And each time it's gotten me right back on course. And now I look at my house, I look at my business, the big building we own, all the employees. I'm making every one of my employees wealthy. We all have it. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We get great profit sharing bonuses. We have a wonderful pension plan that builds. Each employee every year gives a substantial amount to the nonprofit of their dreams. So we really support all these nonprofits and our community, and it all came from nothing but a dream of a 30-year-old who had no money, no job, no support, no knowledge of business or anything.
But you had a voice, Mark. I mean, that's, I guess, my passion, right? You had a dream,
yes.
But you gave voice to that dream. You had the courage. And I think that's what people forget is that when we come onto this earth, before we can crawl, before we can walk, before we can even write, we have this powerful voice that is calling out into the world and then listening for an answer. And you, on your 30th birthday, you started to trust in that voice, that voice of I'm going to write it down. And I think it's so beautiful, even in the word affirmations, we think about them as, but it's really the word firm in there, right?
Yes.
And funny enough, we also say that a business is a firm, right?
Yeah,
I mean, it's
true,
kind of funny, right?
It
that it kind of tones it. It takes this kind of massive, expansive, mysterious stuff and starts to give it form and firms it up. Do you feel there's a difference when you write your affirmations or when you speak them? Is it more powerful to speak them or when you,
You know, I don't know. I've done both. I think with different people, maybe it's different. Some people learn more through audio. Some people learn more through written word. I think there's different types of people. I know Shakti used to encourage people to write the same affirmation and fill a page. And then as any doubts and fears came up while you're writing, you write those doubts and fears on another page. And then you end up having two pages. Then at the end, you take all the doubts and fears, crumple it up, throw it like in a fireplace and burn it or get rid of it. And you have your page of affirmations. I've sometimes done that. To this day, sometimes I'll write out a new affirmation or something, or definitely great quotes of Eckhart's or great quotes that come along. I will write down and post up, but they're both powerful. My book, The Magical Path, the first whole chapter is the power of thought. And the second chapter is the power of the spoken word. And the third chapter is the power of the written word. And of course, they're all equally as powerful because it's all the same thing. They all set in forces. They set in motion the power of creation.
Now I was going to ask you, because I'm being cheeky now, did you ever sing them?
let's see. I've written some songs that contain what are sort of affirmations. Yeah,
I mean, it's kind of funny that all the kids, you know, I mean, I think you're also a parent. All the kids are running around and moving around, really connected with their body and creating these songs before they can even, you know, even realize that they're songwriters. They're creating all these songs. I want to be a princess or whatever. And yet as adults, we're not incorporating singing of affirmations. So I was just, you know, tickling you a little bit.
Yeah.
Add that to your magical path, right?
Right. Yeah. Some of my songs are definitely affirmations when I think about it. One, I remember I dreamed. I had a song sung in my ear in a dream that was really a bunch of affirmations called Sweet Surrender. It went on for 8 verses, but there was like, may I have the wisdom now to know what things can change and have the strength to change them. That's more of a prayer. Then there was... Mm-hmm. Teach me sweet surrender. May I learn what it means to be free. May I live in love. May I remember everything has its beauty, but not everyone can see. That's
beautiful.
An affirmation.
That is an affirmation. Mm-hmm. May we have visionary businesses that also sing at the reception desks and play more music and create more music together. Mark, you do have you have many ways that people can get to know, you know, to work with you and connect with you. You have the program called The Magical Path, right? Which is really, it is something that I know myself. I know The Magical Path with you, and it's very inspiring because I think it brings us exactly to that place where what you were saying before, where we get to relax with our story and we get to embrace that the mystery of it all is magical. It's fun. It's play. I guess that it's our nature to be creative and creators, right?
Mm-hmm. Look at every 5-year-old.
Yeah. And we just have to regress. I mean, we just have to embrace a little bit more. Yeah. The inner child, the play. And then I believe you also have a new course called Visionary Business, if I'm right about this.
Yes, I do. And I wonder if it's even quite up yet, but yeah, I've taken the audio, and it's like 8 hours of audio of this weekend seminar I did. And I wrote like commentaries on the audio, and it turned out to be 27,000 words. So it's,
nice.
It's like a book, but it really is then in depth, a deep dive into my book, Visionary Business, into the whole thing.
And the Visionary Business is actually, in a way, what you are. I think you're passionate about many things, but what we talked about at the beginning of the show is how can we experience a planet? And we know about quantum physics that it is possible. Put it like this, Mark. If you could have your ideal scene, when would we experience planet Earth as enlightened businesses where people are committed to each other with respect, in partnership, giving back to the planet, and still making profits?
When I first did my ideal scene, the game was just to imagine 5 years had passed. So I would like to see it in 5 years. I know, having gone through the 60s, how quickly huge changes can happen and inflame the whole planet. I would love to see it in my lifetime.
I would too.
Yeah.
I would love to see it in your lifetime. If people want to get to know more, is it markallen.com? Is that your homepage?
M-A-R-C.
And the publishing house is New World Library. Is that .com too?
Right.
Or is it? Yes.
Yeah, .com.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, it seemed like when you created New World Library, you already knew where we'd be in 5 years, right? Otherwise, you would have called it World Library. You called it New World Library. So obviously, even back in the day, you had a vision.
That's true. A vision for the library that that creates the new world, really.
That creates a new world.
I dream of it.
Yeah, so for creative conscious beings. I thank you so much, Mark, for being with me today here at Voice Rising.
Thank you so much, Cara. It's always such a pleasure to talk to you.
Yeah, let's keep in touch. And
great.
At the latest in 5 years, but hopefully before,
right.
I think if we all align now out there with our visionary voices, that we will be able to usher in a new world of peace and prosperity for all.
Yes, yeah. Yes. That's a wonderful goal. That's my goal now. I keep rewriting and expanding my ideal scene. So now, yes, let's transform the world so that everyone is housed and fed and educated and healed, and we take care of Mother Earth so
exactly.
She goes on and on for a long time.
Exactly. Beautiful, Mark. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Talk to you soon. Be well.